Before we get into our service, I have some announcements to make. Next Friday evening, which would be the 14th, as well as Sabbath on the 15th, I will be out of town speaking in California, witnessing and holding meetings in trying to wake up mainly Seventh-day Adventists. But I'm planning on broadcasting my talks Friday night and Sabbath in the home church room here, so that you can all hear what's taking place in the meeting. So we'll have a little different scheduling or format for next Friday and Sabbath. And hopefully the broadcast will work fine. I'm going to be taking my computer with me so that I'll be able to have a mic on me and then pipe it into the room. So Lord willing, everything will go fine. There will still be a children's meeting that takes place from 9:30 to 10. So that part of it is still going to be on the regular schedule. But as far as going over our Friday night, the book that we're reading there, or for adult Sabbath school here, going through the Steps to Christ, that will be different just for this next week. And I appreciate your prayers for hearts to be prepared for what I will be sharing. So it's still going to be a active live church service. It's just going to be a little different schedule. And we may not end at 12. It may continue on, or there may be an afternoon meeting afterwards, like starting at 2 or 3. So I will let you all know that next Friday night. So according to plan, if everything goes well, then we'll still be able to gather together here. So the next time that we will have a regular scheduled church service will be Friday and Sabbath, the 21st and the 22nd. Everything will get back to normal then. But again, this next weekend, December 14 and 15, is going to be just a little bit different services. So still plan on coming, and we'll be more than happy to have you with us. Again, beginning Wednesday, January the 2nd in 2013, from 6 to 7 p.m., will be our first midweek church service. And during our Wednesday night services, we will be learning how to witness to others. We will be giving testimonies on how our witnessing went and if we had any problems or if there was some questions that people asked us that we didn't know how to answer. We'll be going over those so that we can be better prepared to know how to give the hope of the reason that is within us with meekness and fear to others, and be able to witness our faith to people who need to hear these things. And it's also, we can have testimonies on other things as well. It doesn't just need to be focused on witnessing in that aspect. But especially will this time be for prayers to be offered. Prayer moves the hand of God, and we definitely need His hand to be moving in our lives and in the lives of His people, so that this earth can indeed be filled with His glory until, just like the waters cover the sea, the earth is filled with His glory and the knowledge of the plan of salvation. So that's partly what we're going to be dealing with on Wednesday night. And that starts January the 2nd. Also, after this church service is ended, please don't leave, as all of those that are in the room here that you see a little M next to your name, which means you're muted and are not able to talk or text. You're important to us being here, and we want to hear your questions, and we want to hear your comments. So afterwards, I'll go ahead and remove all of the mutes and the text denials so that you can come in and share with a mic if you have it, or just in text. Ask us questions, make your comments, and freely fellowship together with us so that we can enjoy each other's company. So that is all the announcements I have. And I do have some prayer requests that have come in already that I will be mentioning during our opening prayer. And again, I just encourage you that if you have some prayer requests, please send them to me in email during the week so that I can make sure that they get on the list to be presented before the Lord. We're told in Desire of Ages, page 211 and 12, that the Lord doesn't allow the hours of the Sabbath to end without answering all the prayers that are made on the Sabbath to Him. So any prayers that are made on the Sabbath, God specifically answers before the hours of the Sabbath pass. And so I want to make sure that any prayer requests that you have are brought up before the Lord so that you know that they will be answered. Whether it's a yea or nay, God will hear them and will answer them before the hours of the Sabbath close. So be sure to do that. And my email address is lightmin@tarragon.com, lightmin@tarragon, tarragon.com. And I will do my best to make sure that they get mentioned on the Sabbath before the Lord. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and put the opening song into the room here, and hopefully there won't be any problems like there was before. Just one second. Do you all see the song, We Gather Together, in the room? And Brother Joel, yes, please, if you want to lead out, feel free, my brother.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. God bless you all. What a joy to be here, and wow, so many beautiful brothers and sisters here. So I will try my best to sing to the glory of the Lord. I pray. Please keep me in prayer as I do so. We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens His will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to His name, He forgets not His own. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining His kingdom divine. So from the beginning the fight we were winning, Thou, Lord, were at our side, all glory be Thine. We all do extol Thee, Thou leader triumphant, and pray that Thou still our defender will be. Let Thy congregation escape tribulation. Thy name be ever praised, O Lord, make us free.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much. The Lord has blessed you with a beautiful voice, and perhaps He might be impressing you to be our song leader. That would be wonderful. Okay, if we can kneel as far as possible for opening prayer, and please bow your heads. Precious Father in heaven, again we thank you so very much for allowing us to be able to gather together with Thee, and with fellowship with one another, no matter where we are around the world. We ask that Thy presence will be in our midst, the presence of our Savior, the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide us, to bless us with the atmosphere from above, to fill our hearts with the warmth of Thy righteousness and the bright beams that shine from Your face. Please take us away from false doctrines, away from custom and tradition, away from preconceived ideas and opinions, and away from ourselves. Direct our gaze upward so that we might behold the truth as it is in Jesus and be set free from darkness and from false doctrine. And Father, we lift up to Thy throne of grace prayers for Eugenia and family, for a needed car to be fixed and another more dependable car to get to work in. We lift up my Aunt Ginger, that you will continue to help her get better from the sickness of the two infectious diseases that she has contracted. And we praise your name that she is getting more stronger and that you are hearing and answering our prayers in this regard. I also bring up all the prayer requests that were made last week, that these also might come before your throne again this week. There's also some new requests that are unspoken for two dear loved ones and their families. There's another unspoken important request. There's another request for a precious daughter in the faith and her husband to be blessed with health, including their children. There's a prayer for Sister Pierna and Brother Joel for coming into the ministry work, and we pray, Lord, that that will take place soon. There's also a prayer request for Kimberly, that she might be able to have the wisdom and the ability to handle the problem that she's in. Also for helping Sean with his Bible studies to get finished. For Joshua and his new wife to be released from false doctrines and to come into the truth as it is in Jesus. And for little Samaj to become part of God's truth along with his parents, so that they can have a place in thy kingdom. We thank you, Father, for hearing and answering these and all of our prayers, and for being here with us now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The topic for this Sabbath sermon is Finding God's True Church. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes or quotes that I will be reading, the link that you can do so is www.lightministries.com/SDA/ID1328.htm. And that will show you all of the quotes that I will be referring to, and so you can read along and be able to gain better insight by seeing it with your eyes and not just hearing it. So, finding God's true church. For thousands of years, the question of who and what is God's church has raged on. Some that have studied for themselves have comprehended the importance of this truth, while others have either misunderstood it or have overlooked the truth on this very important subject. And to comprehend this vital truth is to find freedom in Jesus Christ, but to misunderstand it is to be kept in bondage and captivity to the devil. So it's of the utmost importance to all of us that we take the time to study for ourselves and to understand who and what is God's true church today. Now, as there's at least 100 different denominations around the world who are all claiming that they are the true church of God, and yet they all conflict with each other in belief, can they all constitute God's church? Is it only one out of them all that's the true church of God? How can we know for sure? The only way to understand is to obtain knowledge and wisdom, but obtain it from where? Can we depend alone upon the knowledge and wisdom from earthly sources? No, not at all, because we would become the enemies of God, as we're told in James 4:4. Can we then depend alone upon the knowledge and wisdom from other men? No, because in Jeremiah 17:5 it says that if we depend on the words of other men, be they pope or priest, minister or elder, guru or shaman, then we will be cursed, not blessed. So then can we depend alone on our own wisdom? And again, the answer is no, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19, our own wisdom is foolishness. So then, where do we obtain the knowledge and wisdom with which to understand who and what constitutes God's true church? It must be from God Himself. And God mercifully promises to grant us all the knowledge and wisdom that we need to understand His truth. And these promises are found in James 1:5, John 7:17, and John 14:26. And it is the wisdom and knowledge which comes from God, as is found in His inspired word, that must be our only foundation and dependence in trying to understand the truth of this vital issue. In quote number 1 from Isaiah 8 verse 20, it says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." So if what we hear does not agree with the law or the Bible and the testimony or the spirit of prophecy, as we're told in Revelation 19:10, then there's no light in them. And then in 2 Timothy 2:15 it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So we're to do this study for ourselves. We must individually search and study God's word in order to know who and what is declared by God to be His church. And we cannot allow any man or group of men to be our conscience or to do our study for us in this regard. And to make sure that we obtain the correct understanding, we must go back to the basic truths that is found in God's inspired word so that we can build up a solid foundation of truth upon which we can firmly stand upon. So since there are only two different powers in this world, either good or evil, and there are only two different sources of doctrine, either light or darkness, so God's word lists only two kinds of churches. If you look at quote number 2, there's only two types of churches: the pure righteous church of God, which is Revelation 12, 1-5 and Ephesians 5:27, and you can see the quotes there, the references. So there's either the pure righteous church of God, or there's the corrupt Babylonian synagogue of Satan. Only two different types of churches, dear ones. The church of God is founded only upon God's light of truth, because God is only the author of light, of goodness, and truth. While the church of Satan is founded upon lies, for the devil is the author of all darkness, all error, and all falsehood. So then, if any church holds to a mixture of truth and error combined, then it cannot be God's true church, but is part of Satan's synagogue. And this is because Christ and Satan have no union or partnership with each other at any time. So there's only the true church of God, the pure righteous church, or there is the corrupt Babylonian church, the church of darkness of Satan. So if you drop down to quote number 3, God's true church only has Christ as its head and leader. So with Christ as the leader of His church, then the church will always do only those things which please God, and by so doing, the gates of hell cannot prevail or triumph against the church, because there is nothing that the devil can find in it to use to his advantage. So God's church cannot and will never fall, but will stand forever, because it is founded upon the eternal and everlasting, immovable rock, which is Christ Jesus. Whereas the church which Satan controls will put a man in the place of Christ as its head and leader. And so that church will not do those things which please God, but will do the things which please men. This particular church cannot possibly stand, but will indeed fall and be destroyed, along with all of the members who remain connected with it, because it would be founded upon the ever-shifting, unstable, and deceptive tiny rocks of sand. Not the solid rock, but rocks of sand, which is shifting and movable, and which is fallible, mortal human beings. Now, as the above biblical truths plainly reveal that God's true church does not deviate from good, from light, or truth at any time, even in the slightest way, the vast majority of religious people can't comprehend this fact. And so they end up declaring that this scriptural identification of God's true church is just too straight and narrow to possibly be right. And they are then further shaken by the thought that there has never yet been a denomination in the entire history of this world which has only done those things which have pleased God at all times. And as they cannot harmonize this thinking with the scripture truth, they become confused, and the above scriptures are ignored, and they are then led to believe that God's true church must be made up of a combination of both good and evil existing within it at the same time. But you know, there does not need to be any confusion in this issue, because there is no contradiction between the scriptures and history in this particular issue. And some may say, how can this be? The whole problem lies in how you understand who and what God's true church is. Multitudes have been taught that God's true church is made up of a building or a denomination which has been specifically devoted to worshiping God. And with this particular understanding, then there is an urgent desire to find some denomination to join. But which one? With 100 different denominations to choose from, and with all of these declaring that they are most positively the one and only true church of God, then this is quite a difficult task to have to decide between which one to join. But with this idea, people have been led to believe that they must become members of or connected to some denomination in order to worship God, become part of His true church, and thus to have their salvation assured. But dear ones, this is not what the scriptures teach regarding God's true church. We've been deceived and misled for ages. You look at quote number 4. Jesus, in speaking of himself and dealing with God's true church, declared the following in John 10, verses 14 to 16. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So first of all, Jesus declares that God only has one fold. In other words, only one true church, not many folds or many churches. So then this scriptural truth destroys the idea that all denominations together make up God's church. Now the word fold in the Greek translates the same as flock. And you can find that in Strong's Greek Concordance number 4167. So then who or what makes up this identity of God's true church? Who is His one fold or one flock? People have been taught that God's one and only true church is a denomination, such as the Catholic Church. But is God's one flock any particular denomination today? Look at quote number 5 in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 31. And ye are my flock. The flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. So then this tells us very plainly that God's one true church, His one fold, His one flock of today, is not a denomination, no matter how exalted their name might be, or how loudly they profess to be, or how long they've been in existence. Because the Scriptures has declared that God's one true church is made up of people. We must understand this vital point of truth, that God's church is made up of people and not a denomination, in order to be free in Christ and not continue to remain in bondage and captivity to men. You know, even in Christ's time, this battle of denominationalism, if you will, was raging. Various church followers were battling with each other for converts and the right to declare themselves the one and only true church of God. Each denomination was declaring that only they had the truth, and only in their church could God be truly worshipped. But did Christ sanction this particular belief? Did he side with one or the other in this argument? Did Christ choose one denomination over all the rest for his people to worship God in? One person directly asked Christ this very question, the woman of Samaria. And please read carefully or listen carefully to what answer he gave. In John chapter 4, verses 19 to 24, he told the woman of Samaria, it says, "The woman of Samaria said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain," which was the temple at Mount Gerizim, "and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation," in other words, the message of salvation, "is of the Jews," or was given to the Jews. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So this means that God's true church is not made up of this denomination or that denomination, but is made up of individuals who worship God in spirit and in truth. So you do not need to find any denomination in order to worship God in, because you can worship him in your very homes in spirit and in truth, just like the disciples and the followers of Christ chose to do in their day. And you can look in Romans chapter 16, verse 5, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, Colossians 4:15, and Philemon verse 2 for all indications that the churches of the Christians were in their homes. And it's this beautiful knowledge that God's church is made up of people and not denominations that is what sets you free in Jesus. And it also leads you to correctly understand other related issues regarding God's church. But the belief that God's true church is a denomination will instead leave you in bondage to men and to misunderstand other related issues regarding God's church. Now, some may be having problems in seeing the difference between these two understandings, and so let us just briefly take some time to examine the following scenarios from both sides, and hopefully this will help to show you the difference between these two issues. You know, it should become clearer why one leads to freedom in Christ while the other leads to bondage to men. If you follow along in quote number 7, "The Bible teaches that God is offering rest for all who are weary," which is Isaiah 28:12. So with the understanding that God's church is made up of people, then we would individually find our rest only by going directly to Jesus. And if we choose to leave him, then we lose our rest and our salvation. But with the understanding that God's church is a denomination, then we would find our rest only by going directly to the denomination. And if we should choose to leave it, then we believe that we have forsaken our rest and are lost. The Bible also teaches that God's church is the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:27 and others. So in the understanding that God's true church is made up of people, then we individually become part of Christ's body by joining Christ himself and are baptized. And if we should choose to break away from Christ, then we would no longer be part of his body or church, but would be lost. But with the understanding that God's church is a denomination, then we would become part of Christ's body by joining the denomination through baptism. And if we should choose to break away from, or should otherwise be cast out of or excommunicated from the denomination, then we would believe that we are no longer part of the body of Christ and are lost. The Bible teaches that God's people will obtain immortality or eternal life. With the understanding that God's church is made up of people, then we would find eternal life only through Jesus Christ. And by disconnecting ourselves from Christ, then we have no chance for eternal life or salvation. But with the understanding that God's church is a denomination, then we would find eternal life through the denomination. And by disconnecting ourselves from that denomination, then we believe we have no chance for eternal life or of salvation. So as you can see, all these scenarios involve the issue of our salvation. And the Bible does teach that we must be saved, which is 1 Timothy 2, 3-4. So with the understanding that God's church is made up of people, then we would individually find our salvation by connecting ourselves directly to Jesus Christ. And if we should separate ourselves from Christ, then we are lost. But with the understanding that God's church is a denomination, then we find our salvation by connecting ourselves with the denomination. And if we should separate ourselves or be separated from the denomination, then we believe that we are lost. So let us now put all of these points together so that we get a completely clear picture. With the understanding that God's church is made up of people, then we would individually find our rest, become part of Christ's body and true church. We would find eternal life and salvation by going directly to and becoming directly connected with Jesus. This means that our eyes would be directed upward, and our attention would become centered and focused upon Jesus. He would become the object of our love, our adoration, our praise. Jesus would become our all in all. His life would become our best and all-absorbing theme to contemplate on and to dwell upon. And so our desire to please him would become first and foremost in our lives. His will and commands would become our delight to follow and obey. And by continuing to behold Jesus day after day and moment after moment, our very lives and characters would become more and more changed into his perfect image, and our desire to lead others to also join with us and with Jesus and find salvation in him would enlarge and grow more and more as each day passes. But if we would leave or separate ourselves or break away from Christ, then we would no longer have any assurance of rest. We would no longer be part of his body or true church. We would no longer have any assurance of salvation or hope for eternal life, which means that we are lost. But with the understanding that God's church is a denomination, then we would find our rest. We would become part of Christ's body and true church. We would find eternal life and salvation by going directly to and becoming directly connected with the denomination. So then our eyes would be directed downward, and our attention would become centered and focused upon the denomination. It would become the object of our love. We would adore it and praise the denomination. The denomination would become our all in all. Its history would become our best and all-absorbing theme to contemplate on. And our desire to please the denomination would become first and foremost in our lives. The will and command of the denominational leaders would become our delight to follow and obey. And by continuing to behold the denomination, our very lives and characters would be more and more changed into the imperfect image it reveals. And our desire to lead others to join with us in the denomination would grow as each day passes. But if we were to leave or separate or become disconnected away from the denomination, then we would believe that we no longer have any rest. We would believe that we are no longer part of Christ's body or His true church. And we would believe that we no longer have any assurance of salvation or hope for eternal life, which means that we believe we would be lost. The most serious consequence to all of those who believe this particular way is that their denominational leaders can be as corrupt and wicked as the devil himself. Their denomination can even apostatize from the truths of the Bible and exchange these for the doctrines of hell. And yet it would not matter one bit. And why is that? Because you believe that your denomination is the true church of God. So even if you can be shown evidence that reveals your church to be completely controlled by the devil himself, yet it would not shake your blind faith in the denomination one bit. Because you believe that your church was going through to heaven, and that by your remaining connected with it, then your ticket to heaven is assured. But if you would be separated from the denomination, then you believe you would be lost. So it doesn't matter how wicked or corrupt the leadership or the system is. If you believe it's still the true church, then you believe you must remain connected with her in order to have salvation. I earnestly pray, dear ones, that you can clearly discern the difference between these two ideologies and the pathway which they both lead you to follow. One leads you to complete liberty and freedom in Christ, while the other leads you to complete bondage and captivity to men. The one is the gospel truth of the Bible, which centers in Jesus. The other is the falsehood of Catholicism, which centers in the devil. I sincerely hope that you can clearly understand that if you believe that God's true church is a denomination, then you are in bondage to the men who control that denomination. And more importantly, Christ has been robbed from you as your Savior because the denomination has taken His place in your life. It has become the object of your worship and source of your salvation. And you know, this scenario that we find ourselves in today is nothing new. This idea of the denominational church being made into the object of worship instead of Christ is exactly what the Jewish people were led into. And what is even more disturbing is that the majority of religious people today are being led to believe the very same thing that the Jews did. The Jewish people accused Stephen of speaking blasphemous words against this holy place or against their temple, as we're told in Acts chapter 6, verse 13. And what did Stephen actually tell them? If you look at quote number 8, this is from Acts chapter 7, verses 47 to 50. But Solomon built him, or God, an house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. As saith the prophet, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things? So Stephen was basically telling all of the Jewish church members that in this new covenant period, God does not dwell in literal buildings, but he desires to dwell in the individual hearts of his people through Jesus Christ. Or in other words, Stephen was telling them that any who desired to worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth, and that no one needed to belong or go to the denominational church or to visit any temple in order to worship God, because they could do so in their very homes. Now, this of course meant that no one needed to remain subject to the authority of the corrupt priests, and that no one needed to remain connected with the apostate church, because they could find perfect rest and lasting freedom in Jesus Christ. Now, this of course made the temple-worshipping Jews very angry that such words as this was spoken against their church and against their authority. And so instead of recognizing this biblical truth, instead of taking their love and worship away from the temple and placing it on Jesus, they went ahead and rejected Christ. They rejected this truth. They stoned Stephen to death. And what is even more amazing is that in this new covenant period, this exact same evil spirit that rises up in angry defiance against anyone who speaks a word against their cherished denomination is still rankling in the hearts of many today. When any words are spoken that expose the corruption in their church or touches upon the false doctrines which their denomination upholds, even if these words are true, instead of taking the time to examine the points that are brought forth to see if it is true, they instead just rise up in angry defiance against the messenger and they want him silenced immediately. And this is just an evident token that their denominational leaders have successfully supplanted Christ from the hearts of the people and have replaced the denomination in his place, and have led these church members to worship their denomination instead of God alone. And may these deceived individuals wake up before it's too late, because if they do not exchange their denominational church for Jesus Christ, then they will also be led to fight in any underhanded way against anyone who dares speak a word against their beloved church idol, even to the point of murder, as did the Jews. And yet all the time they will blindly believe that they are really doing God's service. But dear ones, the Bible truth is that we are no longer under the old covenant system where God's presence dwelt in a literal temple building in the most holy place that was directly above the two tables of stone which God wrote as Ten Commandments, and which temple the people needed to resort in order to worship God, because he was there. But we are the people of the new covenant system, where God's presence dwells in our body temple, and where God desires to write his law in our heart and our mind. Look at quote number 9 from Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And then in 2 Corinthians 6:16, For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So the Bible is very clear that God's true church is not made up of any denomination, no matter how exalted their name, no matter how long they've been in existence, no matter how much Bible truth they may claim to believe or to have followed for decades, and no matter how loudly they may proclaim to be God's chosen people. Because what constitutes God's true church is individual people. So praise God, dear ones, for this biblical understanding. So now individuals don't have to remain in bondage to a corrupt priesthood or to an apostate church any longer, because they can find true freedom in Jesus Christ. So then, any denomination or religious group which puts forth the claim that they are the one true church of God, and therefore your salvation is jeopardized if you are not connected with them, then you know that they have cast Christ out of their church and have taken his place among their people. And how do we know this? Because the Bible is very clear. If you look at quote number 10, the Bible teaches that it is only in and through Jesus Christ that we find the truth. It is only in and through Jesus that we become part of the new covenant, that we find redemption, that we are justified, that we become righteous, that we have peace with God, that we have access to the Father. It is only through Jesus that God shows us his kindness, that we have grace, that we receive the Holy Spirit, that we become wise, that we become alive and live. It is only through Jesus that God works in us, that we are sanctified, that we are made perfect, that we can do all things, that we gain the victory, that we triumph over sin, that we can remain faithful. It is only in and through Jesus that we can be preserved in sanctification, that we become the children and heirs of God, that we can joy and glory in God, that we receive spiritual blessings, that we become rich, and that we can sit in heavenly places. All the scripture texts are provided for everything that I just shared in the quotes that I have available for you on the page. So you can see that it is only in and through Jesus Christ that we can escape from the wrath of God, that we will be resurrected if we should die before Christ returns, that we find our salvation and will be saved, and that we find eternal life. That is why our only hope is founded in and through our Lord Jesus Christ alone. Because anything and everything which is good in us comes only through him. So this should unquestionably prove why the foundation of God's true church can only be based upon Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the only eternal and solid rock. No denomination, no religious group, no clergy, no priesthood, no man or group of men can offer you any of these above items in truth. The only being who can indeed offer you all of these above things is only Christ Jesus. Not Peter, not the Pope, not Buddha, not Krishna, not Muhammad, not Maitreya, or any other human being, but only Jesus Christ. So any denomination or religious group which tells you or leads you to believe that any of these above items are to be found by joining their religious system, or that your salvation is in some way tied to being or remaining a member in their system, then you know without a doubt that they are deceived agents of the devil. You know that their church system is a counterfeit of God's church. And you know that it is a snare and a deceptive trap that they are using to try and bring you down to hell with them by robbing you of Jesus as your Savior. It is only in and through Christ that we gain all things, that we are assured of salvation, and that we become part of his true church. But outside of Christ, we have and are nothing. So God's true church is not made up of any denomination. God's true church is not the Catholic Church, it's not the Methodist Church, it's not the Lutheran or the Nazarene or the Episcopal or the Church of God or the Baptist or the Holiness or any other church denomination that's Protestant. Neither is God's true church the Seventh-day Adventist Church or the Seventh-day Reformed Church or even the Seventh-day Remnant Church. And neither is it this church here. Because what constitutes God's true church is individual people. Also, you do not need a large amount of believers that are all gathered together in one place before you can worship God or believe that God accepts your worship of Him. Because Christ told us very plainly in Matthew 18:20, this is the last quote, quote number 11, Christ said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." So, dear ones, it is only the presence of Christ in your midst that can constitute a church of Christ. I mean, think about it. Are you really a church of God if Christ is not in your midst? It's impossible. Because if Christ is not there, then Satan would be. So without the presence of Christ, you are actually part of a church of Satan. Or can you be a church of God if your ministers are preaching false doctrines to you? Can you be a church of God if your church leaders are living in unrepentant sin and are void of the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Can you be a church of God if your church leaders are bruising the flock and mistreating and oppressing it? With these fruits of the wicked one being manifested in any church or in any leadership, then that church cannot possibly be a church of God. So then there's no need to be deceived in this regard of finding God's true church, because the Bible is clear that God's true church is made up of people who love God and who serve Him to the best of their ability and knowledge, no matter how many are gathered together in one place. So let us praise God, dear ones, for this understanding. And let us praise God that He has allowed us to have an online home church in order that we can gather together and worship Him in spirit and in truth, no matter where we are. But if you happen to find yourself all alone, through no fault of your own, and you have no one to fellowship with in worshiping God, and you have no ability to join us in online home church, then don't fret or worry or become anxious that God will not accept your worship of Him because you're just one. This is because you and your guardian angel would make two individuals. And Christ has promised in Matthew 18:20 to be right in your midst to bless your worship of God and make you part of His true church, even though there's no other human being with you. You and your guardian angel make two, and thus Christ says, where two or three are gathered together, He will be there. So there's no need to worry, dear ones. If you're all alone, worship God on His Sabbath, and God will accept your worship because it will be blessed by the presence of Jesus, your Savior. So, dear ones, do not allow yourself to be deceived in this issue of who and what is God's true church. God's true church is not any denomination or any religious group, not even the Seventh-day Remnant Church, because the Bible clearly states that God's true church is made up of individual people who love God and keep His commandments. So church membership or association means absolutely nothing towards your salvation, because your salvation and eternal life can only be found in your Savior, Jesus Christ, and Him alone. May God lead and guide you directly to your Savior, so that you may indeed become connected with Him, become part of His true church and body, and thus have salvation. This is my prayer. For our closing song, we have "The Church Has One Foundation." For those that are familiar with it, I have changed a few words to make it harmonize better with our SDR faith. The church has one foundation, 'tis Jesus Christ her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy Godhead she blesses, partakes one communion food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Though with a scornful wonder we see her sore oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up how long, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and God's true church victorious shall finally be at rest. Shall we bow our heads and kneel as far as possible? Precious Father in heaven, we thank You so very much for giving us Thy holy word. We thank You for giving us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth so that we can understand and comprehend who and what Your true church is. We thank You so very much for letting us know that it is individuals who love Thee and who keep Thy commandments, that they have connected themselves with Your Son, our Savior. And by connecting themselves with Him, they become part of His body and part of His true church. And so no matter where they are, even in a dungeon, yet they can still worship Thee in spirit and truth and still be part of Thy true church. Thank You so very much for being here in our midst, for allowing us to gather together and worship Thee. Please accept our worship of Thee in Jesus' name, dear Father. And we thank You for blessing us. And we pray that You will grant us the blessing and the peace and the comfort to be able to handle whatever situations or circumstances You allow to occur in this new week. Again, thank You for letting us gather together. Please be with each one of us as we part. Bring us back together to worship Thee and to enjoy each other's company and companionship and fellowship and friendship, so that we might help edify one another and become edified ourselves. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Okay, for those that have any questions or any comments, I've gone ahead and removed all of the inabilities of you to communicate, so please go right ahead and share with us. And those that would like to have the mute taken off of your name, please send me a email and express your desire to be able to join with us, and we'll send you your name and password. Again, my email is lightmin@terragon.com, L-I-G-H-T-M-I-N at T-E-R-R-A-G-O-N.com. So any questions or comments, please feel free.
Just a quick comment on back on what was spoken before in the study. It's like to me that a lot of the denominations, since they all really have come out of Rome and basically hold on to a lot of the same ways in which they preach and teach underneath a hierarchical system, it kind of reminds me of when the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And as they were out there mumbling and grumbling, they went back really to their pagan tendencies of what they were surrounded by in Egypt and raised up for themselves a golden calf, a sacred cow, so to speak. And it seems to me that all the denominations tend to fall into that same attitude where they want to hold on to their sacred cow. They're not trying to at least go forth into the wilderness and just follow the great shepherd. They want to be able to see and to touch and to hear. They want all of that kind of pomp and circumstance of visual senses and things like that. Otherwise, it seems to me that they cannot find that faith that surpasses, that peace that surpasses all understanding, and that faith that cometh not by sight. You know, because if we can see it, then why should we have to have faith for it? Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So at least that's kind of like what, you know, I tend to gather out of that. Help me if I am straying off too far.
No, I think you're absolutely correct, brother. It's human nature to want to just sit back and allow someone else to do it for you. And so it's human nature to just sit in the pew and allow your minister or priest to do all the work for you, to tell you what is truth and what isn't truth, to tell you what to do and not to do. And it's just human nature to go right along with it. Now, some people are more rebellious than others, but their rebellion is more from selfishness instead of rebelling against sin and false doctrine. But you're absolutely correct. Human nature is such that I'm more willing to sit back and let others do it for me. But God says, you won't make it to heaven in that condition. You have to study for yourselves. You have to rightly divide the word of God from the word of men. And God gives you the Holy Spirit so that you don't believe that you know it all. So again, God says, go forward. He didn't pull all the children of Israel through the wilderness and across the Red Sea. And he said, go forward. They had to put forth the effort. They couldn't get to the other side of the Red Sea and deliverance from their enemies without action. And the action was in obedience to God's word to go forward. So they had to take the initiative to do God's will. They had to decide to follow him. And once they acted, once they put their feet in the water, then the river Jordan was parted and they were able to go across into the promised land. It's the same for us, dear ones. Once we decide to serve God and we put forth the effort in obeying him, then God's grace and strength comes through, parts the difficulties that prevented our advancement, and allows us to gain the victory over those obstacles. And as we continue to gain the victory, it just becomes all that more sweet. And so you can see the pathway to heaven lies in obedience to God and in action upon your faith. And of course, God's strength and his power and his grace enables you to remain constant and to remain victorious all through Jesus Christ. Any other comments or questions?
I do have a question, because it was something that you had mentioned, Brother Rob, and that was how did you come about knowing that the prayers that are offered up on Sabbath, the Lord will answer them all before Sabbath closes? I don't know how you come to that.
It was found in Desire of Ages, page 211 and 212. That is where it, Sister White brought up the issue that on the Sabbath especially, when you pray to God and you worship Him, that God hears and answers those prayers before the hours of the Sabbath end. So that's where it came from. And if you think about it, it makes sense, because the Sabbath was chosen by God to be set aside as holy time to worship Him on. And everyone who does follow God's command or His will and worships on His Sabbath, God recognizes and appreciates it to the point that His ear is specifically opened to their prayers, and His answer to their prayers are given before the Sabbath ends. So it's almost like, I've asked you to do this. You have chosen of your own free will to follow what I want you to do, and I'm going to make sure that you're blessed in such a way that your prayers are answered the same day. So it's just God's way of recognizing our worship of Him by taking care of our prayers that same day.
Yes, and I this is like a really strong revelation to me, and I find something very powerful in that then, because it seems to me then that on this exceedingly beautiful and special day as it is, this would just be such an excellent, opportune time to put forth those powerful and special prayers for the deliverance of the lost and the witnessing to those who are lost, to overcoming things not even in our own individual lives, but to put forth prayers for our loved ones who are lost, for the sick, for the moving of the hearts of the leaders, the nations. Because if what is being said is that the Lord will answer all these prayers, and I understand it's either yay or nay, but however, it's just exciting to me to know. I mean, this is a revelation to me that I'm just getting. And I praise God that, you know, throughout all eternity, we're going to have so much to keep learning, should by God's grace we make it. You know, and I'm always praying that. But this is really strong to me. This is very strong to me. And I've never had it sink into my head like this, that on this date specifically, that these prayers that are put up in faith will be answered before Sabbath ends. It's such an opportunity to just blow the doors off of prison cells all around the world, where there's just so much going on and there's so much light needed. And on our knees, we may have that opportunity during this day to really do the strongest warfare in prayer. At least that's how it's coming to my tiny little brain. You know, the worm can only think so strongly sometimes. So I just praise God for that.
Oh, absolutely, brother. Amen. Once you understand that, you recognize that here's an opportunity to pray over all kinds of different situations, or pray for all kinds of different people, different classes. You pray for God to open eyes of dear loved ones that are stuck in the Adventist church or in the Baptist church or the Catholic church or whatever church they may be in, that God can reach them in a special way. It's a time for intercessory prayer. And you have the promise, the assurance, that God will hear and answer those prayers before the Sabbath ends. So, I mean, it's just an invitation, if you will, to pray more, especially on the Sabbath. Amen, brother. Indeed, there was just one more question I want to get to, and then we can We can open it up for anyone who wants to pray. There was a question about how do you deal with former associates, for instance, Seventh-day Adventists, who confront you asking you why you don't come to church anymore, but they sort of do it with a confrontational spirit. And that's a good question. What comes to mind is when, was it Andrew came to Philip or the other way around and said, you know, we found the Messiah. And he says, well, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And the response back was, come and see. He didn't get into any confrontation, you know, with his brother or his friend. He said, come and see for yourself. So just a suggestion, those Adventists who come to you and say, why don't you come to church anymore? You can say, because I found the truth that is so much better, or because I found a place to fellowship in that is so much better, or because what's taking place in the church has led me out. And when they say, well, this is the true church, this church is going through to heaven, then say, well, come and see, come to my home and let me show you some things. Or you know, here's a message on CD that I would like you to listen to and tell me your thoughts on this. You know, so instead of becoming confrontational back to them, reach them with an invitation. And perhaps that just might lead them to become curious enough to check it out. So that's just one suggestion. But you can point them to our website, lightministries.com. Okay, and if they're SDA, then it would be /SDA. You can give them our materials. You can pass tracts out to them. There's many ways you can get the truth into their hands without being in a confrontation, if you will. Because confrontations really don't accomplish much, because the person that's confronting you has his mind made up at the time. And so all the confrontational spirit back to them is only going to embolden them to remain confrontational. You're not going to get anywhere. But try to weave the truth past that barrier into their hearts. And that's what the disciple did to his fellow, is come and see for yourself. Check it out. And if you see that it's not according to Bible or spirit of prophecy, then there's no light in it. But at least you would know yourself instead of having to go on the words or the warnings of someone else. So anyway, that's one way of handling it.
Yes, if we're going to pray before we pray, there's a song I would not mind sharing, a scripture song, because Brother Rob was talking about scripture songs, but let me know.
Sure, Brother.
Okay, this scripture song we had sung, both Sister Fiona and I, before, and it's from taking from Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, and I'll read it beforehand anyway. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And the melody that the Lord gave me for was this. You want to help me sing it? Okay, Sister Piana is going to help me sing it. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, break up your fallow ground, break up, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rains righteousness upon you. For it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rains righteousness upon you. Till he comes and rains righteousness upon you.
Let let us go into a season of prayer. I'll go ahead and start, and whoever would like to pray, please feel free to do so, even if you just type your prayer in the text chat. It will be spoken out loud. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for hearing and answering our prayers before the Sabbath ends. We thank you for opening our darkened minds and understanding to know and understand the truth. And we pray, Father, for those who do not yet know the truth, or for those who may have heard it and are in the valley of decision on whether to follow it or reject it. We pray, Father, that you will pour thy Spirit out upon them in a marvelous way so that they may have the clarity of understanding to know where the truth is and where the darkness is. And grant them the grace and the strength to follow the truth, no matter what consequences may come, knowing that they are following Jesus and eternal life thereby. Please be with our dear loved ones that are still in darkness, that may be out in the world. Please lead and guide them to the understanding that the world really has nothing to offer that satisfies. It is just temporary. Please help them to long for the peace that passeth understanding. Help them to long to rest in the Savior, knowing that they receive comfort and that they can trust Him and that they can hope in Him not to let them go or drop. Because our Savior will never forsake the slightest or weakest soul that trusts in Him. He will indeed be their companion for life, if they will just remain connected with Him for life. So please lead our dear loved ones to wanting more than just what the world can offer them. Please be with our former brethren in the Adventist Church. Please lead and guide them to understand that things are definitely wrong with what is occurring among their leadership, what's occurring at the General Conference, how the whole church system is organized under a hierarchical system. Help them to wake up. Help them to be troubled so that they will long to understand, that they will take the time to understand. And please bring any one of us into connection with them, or lead them onto the internet to find our websites, or lead them to communicate with us in somehow, or lead us to them so that we might be able to help them find the truth. And please give us the words to say. Lord, you've mentioned to Moses when he complained that he didn't know how to speak before Pharaoh, that you have made men's mouths and women's mouths. You are our Creator, and as you are our Creator and you have made our mouths, then you can give us the words that we can speak to lead souls to salvation. So please do so, Father, and thank you for already doing so. And please be with our dear loved ones, our dear fellow brothers and sisters, who are edging away from thee, who are choosing different paths to walk in than what you have held out. Please lead them to understand what's taking place. Lead them to see that they're on the wrong path, and help them to get back on the right path. Please continue to let the true Spirit be so fully manifested that any individual can see and know and understand who is following who in these last days. And thank you, Father, that you've given us the promise in Volume 1 of the Testimonies, page 99 and 100, that you will send every angel in heaven, if necessary, to open the eyes of an honest-hearted soul so that they may clearly see who is deceiving them and who is speaking the truth, so that they might escape from darkness and follow the light as it is in Jesus. We also lift up all of the prayers that were spoken and unspoken last Sabbath as well as this Sabbath, and we thank you for already hearing and answering them according to thy will. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Dear Savior, I thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath day and for truth, dear Lord. Thank you for the heartfelt prayers that have already ascended, dear Lord. I touch and agree with every point that Elder Wobb has presented. And I thank you, dear Savior. Thank you for this time. Thank you for opening our understanding to even more of your truth to learn. And thank you, Lord, to be able to lift up those loved ones, family or co-workers or fellow previous church members. You see, Lord, and you know each one by name. You also see the unspoken request of my heart, Lord. And I lift up all of those requests to you now, dear Savior. I lift up those that are on the front lines, dear Savior, Elder Rob, as he's going to be traveling next week. And for those that he's going to be presenting to, I lift up Escrito Está with Hermano Garay. And thank you, Lord, for working out a way to be able to present that to others, dear Savior, and those dear souls who are looking for that and for showing how that can be presented. I thank you for each and every brother and sister represented here, and I praise you for this time to be able to fellowship and to pray together. In Jesus' name, I pray and thank you. Amen.
I have Danielle here, and she would like to pray. Go ahead, sweetheart. Father God, and blessing God, you us the right way you can. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what a blessed Sabbath day that we have had today. And by your merciful hand, you have given us so much to eat and chew on, not even just for this day, but it is definitely manna that shall get us through this week by your mercy and grace. And we thank you. We pray, Almighty God, that you'll please light a very, very holy fire in our hearts and kindle it really richly, so that we have a very strong hunger to win souls. And not only here, Lord, but praying that you please wake up those sleeping children of yours around the world, no matter where they may be, to become more hungry to know you, Lord, more deeply, to become very, very, very thirsty to be in your word. And I say that even for myself first, all the way out to whomever, O Lord God, calls upon your name. We pray, O Lord God, that you'll please move with great power and break the shackles off of those who are in prisons through bondages in their life generationally or by the societies that they live in or through family connections, that you'll please, O Lord God, send your holy angels and send great anointing to them to deliver them, that they may be able to be free to serve you, Lord Jesus, wherever you may want them to serve you. We pray, O dear Lord God, that you'll please move with great power on the leaders' hearts around this world and restrain their wickedness, O Lord, so that the people that they have been oppressing for so long, O Lord God, may have a chance to have their eyes open and see how much you love them and how much Jesus gave that they may have eternal life. Give them a chance, O dear and living God, that they may have that opportunity to choose Christ. We pray, O Lord God, that no matter where your children are, in prisons or in dungeons or chased off into fields, that you'll please provide for them. Give them comfort and shelter. Close the mouth of all the wild animals, whether they be man or beast, that would try to ravage them and destroy them, and make them quiet and still so they can pass through peacefully and continue to pass out those beautiful leaves of grace and the gospel wherever they may go. Open doors of welcomeness to them, O Lord God, that they may have a place to lay their head in peace and safety. And if there should be any fearing or doubting that should come to their mind, comfort them like the loving Father you are, O Lord God, and give them peace and grace in their heart. We pray, O Lord God, that you'll please set a fire in our hearts again also, that we may, if you've been calling us to the field of ministry to win souls, that we will be obedient and diligent and desirous and zealous to get out there and do it. For as your word says, the harvest is very ripe, and there are very few workers. Lord God, raise up the workers, whether it be in our own little towns, whether it even be for the youth that are still in schools, whether it be for the mother or the father that's at their job or in their community. Let them see that that mission field starts right in their home and extends out their front door, O Lord. Help us to be courageous, to be bold, to be fearless, and to love, love, love as Jesus loves. And starting from me, Lord, I pray this thing, and from my own home. And so these prayers, O Lord God, we love you so much. Help us, O Lord God, to truly love you more. We know that you loved us first, but please, O Lord, please, help us to be more obedient, more willing to die more to self, and to sacrifice more, that the cause of Christ may go forward with great passion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey everyone, please pray for my good friends, Chris and Denise. He's been getting a lot of positive and negative feedback over since he interviewed August 2021.
And Father, I add that you will please keep us all safe, protect us from harm, protect us from the evil one, protect us from false doctrines, and if we have any in our understanding, please let these be discovered and rid from our lives, so that the truth as it is in Jesus and Jesus himself can reign supreme. Bring us back together again in safety and with hearts prepared for another refreshing of fellowshipping and worshiping Thee in spirit and in truth. Again, thank you for hearing and answering these prayers. In Jesus' precious name and for His sake, we pray. Amen.